Thank you. You all may be seated. And thank you all so much for coming out this afternoon. And as we celebrate the life of Linda and as we support the family today and in the days to come, if you would continue to pray for them. And we are grateful for all that Linda accomplished in her life. And God was very kind to her. And I know she struggled the last several years greatly. But we are thankful that you all were able to be there for her and continue to encourage her. I know, Luke, you constantly encouraged her and tried to help her. And we are thankful that she's with her Lord today and that she's no longer suffering and in pain. And so we are thankful for her testimony and for the example that she has set for us and for the memories that we have of her. And thank you all for coming to support the family today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is with mixed emotions that we come today, and we sorrow because we miss a loved one, we miss a wife and a mom and an aunt, a grandma, and just someone that was very special to so many. And so in our perspective, we miss and we sorrow, we grieve, and yet our hearts are also full of joy that she is with you and that she's not hurting, she's not in pain, that she can eat and swallow and enjoy your presence in its entirety now. And so we ask that you would help us as we spend a few moments remembering her. And as we look in the scripture and find comfort and strength there, we pray for the family in the days and weeks and months ahead and ask that you would be very kind and gracious to them and continue to encourage and strengthen their hearts. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.
Good afternoon. I was honored when they asked me to read the scripture today. It was with sad heart that I do so because I'd gotten to know Linda very well over the last few years. And it is difficult to officiate at a service like this. But as Pastor said, we know that she's in good hands now. One of the things that Luke and I talked about over the last few years of Linda's life was the fact that she always said, when I pass, don't cry or pray for me, because I know where I'm going. I'm sorry for you that are still left here. So in that light, I chose this scripture because I think it fits her life and her legacy. So if you'll turn with me and follow me through Psalms 90, 1 through 6, and then we'll drop down to verse 10 and 12. Verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by as a watch in the night. God is God in the past, in the future. And he sees it as it is now. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. Then in verse 10 it says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. So, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And that is Linda's legacy. She had a heart of wisdom, and she loved everyone. It's with sorrow that we part with her, but as Pastor said, we know she's in better hands now. No more sorrow, no more pain. And so we gather today to support the family in this tragic hour, but yet it is a good hour, and that we know where she is.
Thank you. If you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to grab one of those pew Bibles. Turn to page 928. Did you see in the obituary where it said that they had been married for over 60 years? That's a long time, you know that? Plus three. 63. Oh, so you're counting the 3 years of dating as well. Luke, what a faithful example you were. You stayed, you served, you took care of your wife, you did all you could. Amen. Thank you for being so faithful. Before we look at the Word of God, does anyone in the family have a memory that they'd like to share for just a moment? It just seems like we haven't talked enough about Linda for a second or not. The pictures were wonderful. Who was that baseball player she was hugging? Okay, that was a few years ago, wasn't it? Josh Beckett. Oh, he was. Oh, okay. See how oblivious I am, John? It fooled me. Yeah, I thought it looked a little flat. Yep. Yeah, how gullible am I? Yeah. I'd like us to look at 1 Thessalonians. It's really easy to talk through this text because I know the testimony that Linda had. I know that she believed these words to be true. I know that she was fully convinced in her heart that what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica was in fact the Word of God. And so I'm in chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 13. And again, if you don't have your Bible with you, grab one of those pew Bibles. It's page 928. Lord God, I just ask that you would be with us. That you would comfort our hearts. I join my brother Steve in praying that you would minister to the family. You would comfort them. May your grace be abundantly sufficient in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message is titled, Here and There. She's here and she's there. The message is titled, Asleep and Dead. Asleep and Dead. Verse 13 says, But we, talking about the apostles, we do not want you, us, the body of Christ, the reader of his letter, to be uninformed. The King James language is ignorant. We don't want you to be ignorant. You need to know the truth. Verse 13, Brothers and sisters, about those who are, and look at this word, asleep. Asleep. Asleep was what Paul calls death. He says she's asleep. Any believer who passes away, Paul describes as, in verse 14, those who have fallen asleep. In verse 15, he says, those who have fallen asleep. Three different times he doesn't describe death as death. Instead, he describes it as asleep. In the end of verse 16, Paul acknowledges that they are dead and need to be resurrected. Let me read it to you. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump sound of the trump, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we always be with the Lord. And then verse 18 says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So isn't it interesting that Paul uses this dichotomy of asleep and dead? Think about Lazarus in Luke 16. In Hades, being in torment, he lifts up his eyes and sees Abraham afar off. And Lazarus, at Abraham's side, he called out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. There's the two extremes. That's the two extremes right there. There's some that are asleep, and that's very pleasant, and there are others that are in anguish. Both are dead. Literally, both are dead. Paul calls some having fallen asleep, and then Luke, the author, describes a whole other dynamic. But Abraham said, child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. Now he is comforted, and you are in anguish. Revelation 6:19 speaks of the souls of those who have died now being in the presence of God. This means that our sister Linda's body is here with us, but her soul is not here. Her soul is already in the very presence of God, according to Revelation 9:6. The distinction between the soul and the body is what permits us to use the language of here and there. When the believer dies, the soul is separated from the body. The body remains here to be buried, and the soul is ushered into the presence of God. The believer does not immediately get a new body. Linda is not immediately getting a body. The scripture is very clear about that. And this is why Paul uses this language of the dead in Christ. In a bodily sense, they're the dead in Christ. And nothing in the New Testament indicates the believer will quickly find their grandmother or their deceased parents or their spouse. We don't get our favorite instrument to play. We're not up there doing tennis or baseball or anything like that. Not yet. We are in the presence of God and the Lamb that was slain and is now ruling, Christ Jesus. Look back at verse number 13. Very end of verse 13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Paul is very upfront about why he does not want you ignorant, why he doesn't want you uninformed. Paul wants your grieving, Luke, to be different from an unsaved man's grieving, because Luke, you know the testimony of your wife. You know she loved Jesus. You know that her faith was in Christ. You know that she was converted. So our grieving is different from those outside the church because they have no hope, and we today are filled with hope. This changes everything for us. It changes everything. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:9, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If what the church does, if what Christ does is just for this earth, if it's just for this earth, if it just makes us better people while we're on this earth, if it teaches us to be a little bit kinder and more polite and treat our neighbor better than everybody else, but there's no eternal hope, then we grieve just like everyone else grieves. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's totally contrary. You know that in the Bible there are 43 references to eternal life? There is eternal fire, eternal punishment, eternal power, eternal change, eternal God, an eternal spirit, eternal weight, eternal purpose, eternal comfort. There's eternal dominion and eternal salvation. There's eternal judgment. There's an eternal inheritance. There's an eternal covenant and eternal glory. Why so many references to eternal? To remind all of us gathered here today, as we remember Linda, as we remember her departure from this earth, we are to remind ourselves that life is not over when we breathe our last breath. That there is more. We, the body of Christ, we who believe have hope in an eternal future kingdom. Our Lord said He was going away and He was coming again. John 14:3. Our eternal God through the eternal Spirit gives eternal life in an eternal kingdom. Our hope is grounded in the words of our eternal God, in the eternal gospel, promising an eternal covenant. Verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. Now it gets exciting. Now Paul's describing the future. Paul says to all of us today here, someday Lord Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, our sister Linda is coming back with Him. He's not leaving her behind. He's not leaving her as an orphan. When He comes back, we come back with Him. Paul assumes you are part of the we. Since we believe this truth that Christ died for our sins and rose again on the third day, this is how Paul describes the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ's atoning sacrifice for the death of the sins of the whole world is applied to us individually through grace by faith in the person and work of Christ. Notice God is sending those who are asleep in Christ back to the earth. Paul says that through Jesus, God is bringing the souls of those who have been in heaven in God's presence back to this earth. But we might ask, why are we coming back? What's going on? Why are we coming back? I thought we'd just stay in the clouds, you know, flittering around, playing our favorite harp. We are coming back because it is on this earth made new where we will spend eternity. Heaven is not our final home. It's not our final home. Verse 15, we declare to you by the word of the Lord. This is the way Paul adds emphasis, quoting the highest authority he can quote. That's the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. This is great. Listen to Paul's language. There are two groups of people. Both are believers. Some have already gone to be with the Lord. Some are on the earth. God, when He returns in Christ Jesus, is going to unite the two together. What an exciting thing. In Matthew 24, we hear about this unnamed archangel. Listen to the language of Jesus. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send out His angels with a loud trumpet call and gather His elect from the four winds, one from one end of heaven to the other. Why is King Jesus coming back? Why is King Jesus emptying the heavens of all those souls who have fallen asleep? Why are they gathering elect together from the four corners of the earth? My brothers and sisters in Christ, There is now an eternal kingdom to establish, and the end has just begun. Paul says the dead in Christ will rise first. That's what's going to happen. So let's make this real. Let's talk about this in a real, tangible way for your beloved wife and your mother. Someday in the future, this body that you will bury here in Fayetteville will be resurrected and united with her soul. And she will at that time have an eternal body, a glorious body. The dead in Christ will rise first. And this is the here and the there. The body of the believer is still on the earth. God told Adam he was created from dust. Brother James, where are you seated? Brother James, that's what you read. That's the psalm that you read. You read that exact psalm about dust. So at some point, if the Lord tarries his return, our dear sister's body will turn to dust. But wait a minute. John, that's not a problem for the Lord. He picked up dust from there and made Adam. He's in the business of taking dust and making human beings. That's not hard for him. He does that quite well. Let me wrap it up with these words from Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everyone's going to die. There are some people that will be alive when the Lord returns. And those people will all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. Paul says, the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. And we all shall be changed. I appreciate that somebody is getting it. Can you imagine a more glorious moment in the history of mankind than when this happens? It's going to be unbelievable. Pause for a minute and really think about it. In what is described as in much less than a minute, much less than a second, in the twinkling of an eye, God is going to miraculously take every single believer, resurrect them, give them a glorified body, unite them with their souls. Those of us that are alive are going to be changed instantly. I'm old enough to remember Star Trek. Is there anybody else that remembers Beam Me Up? Does anyone else remember Beam Me Up? It was the most bizarre thing in the world, right? But we all got it and we watched it. Okay, this is the Lord's doing. This is what He's doing. It's not hard for Him. He's the one that speaks the universe into existence. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Paul writes, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good for us to assemble like this. It is good for us. Luke, I was sitting there watching you and watching the video montage. Brothers and sisters, I thought to myself, I need to be taking more pictures of my wife with her grandchildren. That's what I thought to myself. All of us need to be reminded of our own immortality. All of us need to be reminded that we don't live forever, that we too will face a day, a moment in which our life will cease. We need to be reminded that we need to be living it like this is the last week, the last month, the last year. And we don't think about that until we get a pointed reminder like our dear sister departing from the earth. Paul says, then we who are alive or left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now Paul addresses the living when Christ returns. The angels are going to gather the elect during the ascent to meet the Lord in the air. The living in Christ will have their bodies changed. And now all the saints of God from Adam to the last and now have glorious bodies like the one Christ had after his resurrection. It is nearly time to enter the eternal kingdom. What's left? Well, there is a judgment that must take place. There is a punishment of the wicked one. He will be cast in the lake of fire. The second death will be disposed of. And then according to 2 Peter, we, according to his promise, are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then verse 18 says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So, Brother Will, you come forward and close us in prayer and you encourage us, dear God, for we are encouraged from the Word of God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we celebrate Linda's life, Father. Father, we just thank you for the family, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you will just continue to comfort them, Lord, continue to guide them, Lord, and in their darkest hour, Father, I just pray, Lord, that they will seek you, Father. They will seek you first, Father. Father, we know that death has a sting to it, Lord, and it's darkness, Lord, but you have reversed that, Lord, as death leads to a new life, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that if there's anybody here, Lord, who's in anguish today, Father, Father, I pray, Lord, that they will seek you, Father. For there's only one way that they will see their dear mother and their dear wife again, Lord, and that's through you, Father. Father, we pray, Lord, that as we depart here today, Father, as Pastor mentioned the pictures, Lord, and having the memories, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they will look and just keep Linda's memory in their heart, Lord, as we leave here today, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide them, Lord. You will continue to strengthen them, Father, and you will continue to comfort the family, Father. Father, we pray, Lord, that you just have your way with them, Father. For it's in your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.